President John F. Kennedy was assassinated more than 50 years ago. Questions still persist to this day. Why did the Secret Service threaten deadly force against the Dallas Medical Examiner? Why did a Navy official testify that the official autopsy photographs were not the ones she developed during the weekend of the assassination? Explore these questions and more in Jacob Hornberger's best-selling ebook, The Kennedy Autopsy, published by the Future of Freedom Foundation. Buy it today for only $2.99 on Amazon.com. The Kennedy Autopsy by Jacob Hornberger.
All right, y'all. Scott Horton Show. I'm him. Check out the website, scotthorton.org. More than 4,000 interviews now going back to 2003. scotthorton.org. Sign up for the podcast feed there. And follow me on Twitter, at Scott Horton Show. Introducing Sam Husseini. You ought to get a partial credit as some kind of co-producer of this show with your great emails, your press releases you send out every morning, and all the great articles and guests you turned me on to, Sam. Appreciate that and appreciate all your work. Welcome back to the show. How are you, sir?
Thanks so much. I'll look for the check.
I don't make any money, so your percent of nothing is nothing.
All right.
Yeah. All right. So now listen, hey, very important article you got here. Quite a scoop. Noor Zahi Salman. Everything you're hearing about me is a lie. Well, who's she and what are we hearing?
She's the wife of the parent shooter in Orlando, Omar Mateh, and virtually every media outlet is saying that she has admitted to helping him buy a gun, helping him stake out the place, that she knew about the shooting beforehand. About 48 hours ago, all of those statements were made by a lot of media outlets attributed to anonymous government sources. Now they're sort of calcifying into conventional wisdom. In fact, what she's saying is that it's all one big lie, or a lot of big lies. She's telling the people around her, who I've been in touch with, and I've seen some of the texts that she has sent out, saying that it's all a lie. She did not know about the attack beforehand. She did not go to a gun store with him. They might have gone shopping together, and she went and got clothes for their kid, and he might have gone to a gun store, but they didn't go to a gun store together. She did not help him stake out the place. She doesn't like to drive. Everybody's saying that she drove him there. But actually, when you look at some of the reporting, it sort of backs up what she's saying about her not driving, really. So a great deal of this story is highly dubious. It is initially attributed to anonymous government sources. These are people, unlike my sources, who are genuinely afraid, and that's why they're anonymous. The government sources that are the apparent initial sources for this story are not afraid. They just don't want to be held responsible for their words. Mm-hmm. So they've put out all this stuff, I think, for a number of reasons. In part, to distract from the FBI's own failure to protect people, because the story, 48 hours ago was, hold on, you guys questioned this guy twice in the last couple of years, what's going on here? That's now off the agenda. Now the agenda is, it's the wife's fault, uh-huh. And by implication, it's all these Muslims' fault, because they're not coming forward. They're not telling, they're not pointing the finger at the violence once against them, and it's being reiterated in brazen terms by Trump, and in slightly less, slightly more subtle, but still, I would argue, insidious ways, by Hillary Clinton.
All right, now I got to say here, and I maybe should have said this in the introduction to the topic.
Sure.
And I don't know exactly which report I'm thinking of. It could have been NBC or which, but they really left me with the impression. I mean, I kind of know better to take it with a grain of salt, but the impression was certainly there that, boy, oh boy, is she about to be indicted, because sort of, as you say, they have quite a few points that they're saying. They're really making it sound like she helped him case the joint. One report said she knew for years that one day he was going to massacre a bunch of people. She certainly knew for some amount of time, and she didn't warn anyone. She's an accessory, and whether she drove him to case the place or not, when he bought a gun, she must have known the purpose of any gun purchases that he made were for committing this crime, etc. It only takes four or five of these assertions in a row to make her sound as responsible as him. But what you're telling me is she says none of that is true.
That's correct. All of the stuff that you've been saying is not stuff that any FBI figure that I know of has come to a podium and stated. When FBI personnel come before a podium, they say this is under investigation, and she's cooperating, and we're questioning her. She's more than cooperating, actually. She let them into her place without a search warrant. She handed over her iPad and other electronic gear. They told her that she was free to go, but gave her a phone, an FBI phone that she has to check in on, and that I'm sure in effect acts as a monitoring device and possibly a listening device. So the FBI is not making any of those allegations forthrightly. What is happening, apparently, is some anonymous officials in the government, presumably in the FBI, but I don't even know. Yeah, I mean, this could be coming out of the DOJ. This could be coming out of the White House.
Or the local sheriff's department.
Or possibly. I mean, I assume that it's somebody who's fairly well connected to media, right? Because, or it could be the State Department, for all I know. It's saying, anonymous officials are saying, that she did all of these things. And that's what's driving this news cycle. I mean, assuming that, Pete Williams and other, at NBC and other reporters aren't making up these quotes, that there's some government official, we don't know where or who, putting this information out.
I mean, this is really incredible, as you write here. ABC claims, quote, after Noor Mateen began to answer questions, agents administered a polygraph test to determine whether she was telling the truth. And then the next sentence, she is apparently saying she offered to take the polygraph, but they declined her offer. Well, anyway, the word polygraph is in there somewhere, Sam, right?
Right.
And never mind, a polygraph is nothing but hocus pocus anyway. I mean, give me a break. They might as well be reading her palm, but anyway.
Right. Again, I don't know her. I have not communicated directly with her. I know that she has read my article that's on Counterpension on my personal webpage, and that she had, there was one correction that I put out. I initially said that she had a bracelet, so I corrected that. Mm-hmm. But she's, I've seen her texts with her friends who I'm in touch with.
And that's an important point. You've seen the texts yourself from your source communicating with her.
I have. And what she's saying is, all I want was a home, a family, and peace for the media to stop these lies. It's not right. That's what she's saying. So all of these media reports that she admits that she drove him there, that she admits that she knew about it, that she admits all of these things, my information is that that is totally 100% false. I don't know her, I don't know her. I don't know exactly how trustworthy she is, but I know my source is a reliable person, and I think the preponderance of evidence at this point would lead me to scrutinize the official and the official media version, because we've seen this before, in these situations. Where anonymous officials get to hide behind anonymous quotes and journalists get to hide behind anonymous sources. So nobody's responsible. They can put out all these lies and the journalists can say, that was what these officials told us.
But does it sound to you like, it sounds to me like she doesn't have a lawyer yet, because her lawyer would not let her communicate with you in this way for this article probably, right?
Again, I didn't communicate directly with her.
Yeah. Well, so, I mean, sort of, kind of, right? As you said, she read your article and then sent
correct.
A correction, so that's...
That's correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
I mean, this... It sounds like if she had a lawyer, he would tell her to just shut up. It doesn't matter whether she's spinning this way or that, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, lawyers... from a lawyer's point of view, the number one priority is to defend her legally and tell her not to talk to media. Some lawyers, however, understand the value of, trying to prevent the hemorrhaging of populating the public mind with disinformation, which is what the FBI seems to be doing, or somebody within the government, in conjunction with major media outlets. So there is a value to that, too, that I think some lawyers, it's certainly a lower priority, but that some lawyers appreciate the value of trying to mitigate the damage that's being done there to the public mind.
Yeah, it could be.
In terms of her case and in terms of general public policy, because now the policy is set. The problem is the Muslim community. Right, that's the problem. They're not coming forward with the information that they have to come forward with. The problem isn't that the FBI failed. The problem isn't that U.S. foreign policy is provoking things. The problem isn't homophobia. None of these are the problems. The problem is the Muslim community isn't coming forward to law enforcement.
Yeah, well, and this is such an important point, as you say. You know, Donald Trump. Well, you can get to the Hillary thing, exactly what she said. I'm not as familiar with that, but Trump certainly, has repeatedly implied, sort of this, it's kind of shades of, 30s Nazi propaganda against Jews, really, that all Muslims more or less have this secret telepathy and they all, work together and know each other and all share the same goals. And if a Muslim did something somewhere, you can bet that the Muslims around there must have known something. And I mean, God, this is a presidential candidate. I mean, that is that kind of a way of framing it is so out of line. But then, I'm familiar. You probably know this. There was a piece just a few months back by Michael Hirsch, formerly with Newsweek. I forget where he is now. But the reporter Michael Hirsch did this really long study of just how much American Muslims cooperate with the cops. And it's a lot. And virtually all Muslim community leaders in America are on a first name basis with their local cops and their local FBI agents and all these kinds of things. Because, I mean, first of all, they really have no choice. But second of all, they're Americans. They don't want to harbor anybody who's going to attack anybody in the name of politics or religion or anything else. And they don't want their community to have to suffer the consequences of those kinds of things. So for him to pretend that if anybody knew anything, oh, yeah, the whole community is just keeping it secret or something, it just couldn't be further from the truth.
Yeah, well, I mean, there are a lot of layers to this. There's also been the facets of some FBI things in effect acting as virtual, entrapment mechanisms. They'll pinpoint somebody in the Muslim community who might be vocalizing some legal grievance and then trying to, construct a case around them that they're planning violent activity, and that doesn't pan out. Colleen Rowley has written about this extensively, as have others. New York Times actually had a pretty good piece about a week ago about that phenomenon. I think that people need to be very careful in how they deal with law enforcement, as this case tells us. This woman acted, from every indication that I've had, incredibly forthrightly. Said, "Oh, okay, you don't have a search warrant yet? Yeah, please come on in. I don't have anything to hide. Please look at my apartment. Here's my iPad. I didn't do anything wrong. Search all you want." And her reward for this apparently is being excoriated in every major media outlet as a accessory to mass murder. So, my inclination would be to tell people, especially Arab and Muslim Americans, that you should have a lawyer present, if you're talking to the FBI. I think we do have to keep that in mind as well.
Yeah. All right. Well, hey, good work. Very important work you got here, Sam. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Scott.
All right, y'all. That is Sam Husseini, and you can find him at husseini.posthaven.com. This one is called Noor, that's N-O-O-R, Zahi, Z-A-H-I, Solomon. Everything you're hearing about me is a lie. You can find the link on my Twitter page as well. All right, Scott Horton Show. Find all the interview archives at scotthorton.org. More than 4,000 of them going back to 2003. You can sign up for the podcast feed there and all of that. Help support at scotthorton.org/donate. And follow me on Twitter @ScottHortonShow. Hey, I'll check out the audiobook of Lou Rockwell's Fascism Versus Capitalism, narrated by me, Scott Horton, at audible.com. It's a great collection of his essays and speeches on the important tradition of liberty. From medieval history to the Ron Paul Revolution, Rockwell blasts our status enemies, profiles our greatest libertarian heroes, and prescribes the path forward in the battle against Leviathan. Fascism Versus Capitalism by Lou Rockwell for audiobook. Find it at Audible, Amazon, iTunes, or just click in the right margin of my website at scotthorton.org. You hate government, one of them libertarian types, or maybe you just can't stand the president, gun grabbers, or warmongers. Me too. That's why I invented LibertyStickers.com. Well, Rick owns it now, and I didn't make up all of them, but still, if you're driving around and want to tell everyone else how wrong their politics are, there's only one place to go. LibertyStickers.com has got your bumper covered. Left, right, libertarian, empire, police state, founders quote, central banking. Yes, bumper stickers about central banking. Lots of them. And, well, everything that matters. LibertyStickers.com. Everyone else's stickers suck. Hey, I'm Scott Horton here to tell you about this great new book by Michael Swanson, The War State. In The War State, Swanson examines how Presidents Truman, Eisenhower, and Kennedy both expanded and fought to limit the rise of the new national security state after World War II. If this nation is ever to live up to its creed of liberty and prosperity for everyone, we are going to have to abolish the empire. Know your enemy. Get The War State by Michael Swanson. It's available at your local bookstore or at Amazon.com in Kindle or in paperback. Just click the book in the right margin at scotthorton.org or thewarstate.com.